Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. It isn't done by works. It isn't done by baptism. It isn't done by church membership. The only way to heaven is by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray today, if you're here and you've never had that personal relationship, by the way, it isn't just knowing him in your head. It's having him in your heart, having that personal relationship that you walk with him day by day. That's the difference. And by the way, there's a big difference there. It's the difference between heaven and hell. And I pray today that you are prepared for that day. Every one of us ought to be prepared because we do not know what a day holds. If you have a copy of the scripture this morning, I want you to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Remember, we were there last week together, and we were looking at the Apostle Paul as he chairs with young Timothy. You remember, Timothy's 30 years younger than him. And he writes this book, it's the last inspired book that the Apostle Paul wrote. He's preparing for his death, but he's preparing to pass along to Timothy the things that are important. In fact, you'll find in 2 Timothy no less than 25 imperatives. They are commands. He's challenging him to step up to the plate, to be the man of God that God wants him to be, and to honor the Lord in all that he does. Remember, we looked at last time we were together, what is that which motivates us? What motivates us in the kingdom? What keeps us going? What helps us, as he told him in chapter 1, what helps us to refuse our fears? What helps us to remember the faith? What helps us to rely on our security? What is that that helps us? And what helps us is, he says there in verse 8 of chapter 2, remember Jesus Christ. We're to remember him. Remember last week we looked together as how we're to remember his death, how we're to remember his resurrection, how we're to remember the fact that he's coming again. And we remember Jesus, that's what motivates us in the kingdom of God. But also we're to remember that the word is not bound. Remember we looked at that last week, how God's word, thank God that his word is not bound, according to verse 9. Of chapter 2. And he reminds us the fact that it is not the word not bound. We must understand, we must remember the purpose of the work. What are we here for? Remember what Paul said? He said, listen, I endure all things, verse 10, for the elect's sake, for those who still have not come to Christ. We're still busy about the work of God until that last person comes to Christ. Remember, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we are remembering there's a reward. He used a negative and a positive there. The positive, he says, if we are faithful, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. Verse 11, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. The negative part, if we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. But today I want to look at what's the challenge that he brings us. He wants every single believer here, every one of us ought to be a vessel of honor. Every one of us ought to say, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be that vessel that honorable to you. And he begins, if we may, together there in verse 20. Look at it with me. Verse 20 of chapter 2. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver and of silver, but also wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that are called on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, he's trying to say, here are the 9 things that we need to see. If we're going to be a vessel of honor, these 9 characteristics ought to be in our life. Now, I'm not going to finish all 9 this morning, so don't get nervous. But I'm going to preach more tonight on this. I hope you'll be back at 6 for the finishing of this sermon. But I notice what he says. He says, I want you to be a vessel of honor in a large house, in a great house, referring what? To the church of God, referring to the body of Christ. By the way, all are believers, by the way. There are some that are honorable and some that are dishonorable. Those that are gold and silver are the honorable ones. Those that are wood and earthware are dishonorable. Now, let me help you understand that in the scripture, this isn't the first time Paul uses this analogy. He used the analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember when he talks about the bema seat? He talks about that bema seat. What does he say? He says, listen, at the bema seat, the only foundation that's sure is Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. But he says every one of us are going to be accountable one day to stand before God, and we'll be accountable for that which he has given us. By the way, there, thank God, we'll be saved. Amen. If you stand before the bema seat, by the way, that takes place after the rapture of the church. There will be in heaven, and there will be a bema seat. There will be the judgment seat of Christ, that every single believer will stand before the Lord and will give an account for that which we have done. But see, he says there in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, hey, there's those that are of gold, of the things we've done of gold and silver. They will stand the test of the fire. They'll not be burned up. That which is gold and silver is that which is God made. By the way, those are the things that are done in the Spirit. Everything that you and I do here in the church or in the kingdom of God, we must do it for the glory of God. Amen? We must not do it in the flesh, but we must do it in the Spirit. If you do it in the Spirit, the Bible says you will be tried as by fire, and it will stand the test. But if you do it in the flesh, hay, wood, and stubble, those things will burn up in the fire. But he says there, you'll be saved, though. Thank God for that. But I want you to understand, if we're going to be an honorable vessel, we're going to have to be, as he says earlier in chapter 2, we're going to have to be that great teacher. We're going to have to be that good soldier. We're going to have to be that athlete that runs the race well. We're going to have to be that hard-working farmer. Those are vessels unto honor. And he says that in earlier in chapter 2. But those things that are dishonorable vessels are those who are unprepared teachers, those who are cowardly soldiers, those who are lazy athletes, those who are slothful farmers. And by the way, he says, that will be tried. And I want you to know, we got to see where we stand. How can we be an honorable vessel? Well, he tells us how we can be an honorable vessel. He reminds us that we have a responsibility to be an honorable vessel. But notice what he says. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, now he's going to tell you how to be an honorable vessel, okay? 9 things here. Number one, if you're going to be an honorable vessel, you must first, what? Purge himself from these. In order to be an honorable vessel, you must be a person who has purge yourself. That Greek word there, it's a Greek word. It's only found 2 times in the New Testament, but it means to be clean thoroughly, okay? Completely cleansed. We must get rid of all sin in our lives. I know some of you are thinking this morning, well, can God use a dirty vessel? Absolutely he can. God can use whatever he wants to, amen? Because there was one time God used a donkey to straighten out a preacher. If God can use a donkey, he can use us. Amen? But he can use us. I want you to understand this. But if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we've got to, first of all, purge ourselves. We got to get rid of all sin in our life. See, sin destroys our walk with God. Sin keeps us from having maximum use for the kingdom. And we need to ask the Lord today, Lord, would you cleanse me thoroughly? Lord, would you get rid of all sin that's in my life? You say, how does that come about, Brother Jerry? Well, that comes about daily. As we walk with God, have you ever noticed the closer you walk with God, the more aware you'll be of your sin? And God will reveal that to you by the Spirit, by the way. The Spirit will reveal to you things in your life that are not pleasing. And when he reveals those to you, as we walk in the Spirit, God will reveal that. And what happens is, God will reveal that. And what do? We immediately confess it. You say, well, God's forgiven me of all my sin. He forgave me of sin at Calvary. Yes, positionally he did. But guess what? We got to count it to be so. According to Romans chapter 6, we got to daily count it to be so that we commit our life and we submit our lives to him. And we got to deal with sin daily in our lives. That's the reason in 1 John, he says over there in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he says, if we confess our sin, he, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Now, I tell you something today, church, listen to me. Sin is contagious. Sin not only affects you, it affects those around you. And we must understand, we think, oh, well, sin is just a little sin. Let me tell you what, God doesn't call it a little sin. All sin is bad as far as God's concerned. Every sin. We say, well, I haven't done one of the top tens. Doesn't matter whether you've done one of the top tens or not. What matters is if there's sin in your life, you need to ask God for help to clean out your vessel, that you would be a vessel clean, that you might be used mightily of God. The psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 23, 24 puts it this way. He says, search me, O God, and know me, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, God, search my heart. And by the way, don't ask God to do that unless you're serious. Because he'll put the floodlight of his Holy Spirit on your life, and he'll begin to reveal things to you that need to be dealt with. We need to be clean. We need to allow God to purge us, to clean us, that we might be a vessel of honor, folks. And God's looking for that. He's looking for us. By the way, may I tell you, once we come to Christ, yes, he forgives us of all of our sin at Calvary, and he forgives us once we come to Christ, but we must daily seek him. We must daily deal with things in our life, and we must daily say, God, reveal to me things that are not of you. See, each of us, no matter who we are, we have blind spots. Maybe we can't see them, but God will reveal those to us. And as he reveals them to us, maybe it's an attitude, a sin of attitude. Say, I haven't had a right attitude. Maybe it's a sin of us not being the husband that we not need to be. Husbands, maybe we haven't loved our wives as Christ loved the church. And God's going to reveal that to us. He's going to say, hey, the way you treat your wife is very important. Or wives, as you relate to your husbands. Or parents, as you relate to your children. See, it involves all of these things. But if we're going to be a vessel of honor, if we're going to be the vessel that God is going to use greatly, we must first purge ourselves. We must be thoroughly, completely clean. Not only that, notice the second thing he tells us here in our text. He says, not only must we be purge ourselves from these things, but we must be a vessel of honor, but we must be sanctified. See that word sanctified? You know that word quite well. It's the word that's the word hagios in the Greek language, hagiazo here. The idea, it's a perfect passive participle here. And the idea is something that already exists in us. By the way, do you realize that God has already sanctified you? Whenever you got saved, aren't you glad that when you got saved, God justified you? It's just as if you had never sinned. That's the reason the Bible says we have been, Romans 5:1, we have been justified through Jesus Christ. That's how we're justified. But by the way, that's the beginning of the process. What are we involved now? God's involved in sanctifying us. He's involved in the sanctifying process. And by the way, he sets us apart little by little, each and every day, to prepare us for that day. Thank God for the glorification when we'll stand before the Lord and he'll declare that we're righteous, not in our righteousness, but in his righteousness. He'll declare that, and we will be a vessel unto honor. But notice what he says, we got to be sanctified. May I tell you, this involves two things, okay? Two things. Number one, it's a negative and positive here. First of all, it involves us being set apart from sin. If you are being sanctified, that means God is setting you apart from sin. Sin should not, catch this, should not dominate the believer's life. In fact, over in 1 John chapter 2, he says, we're to sin not. You say, now hold it, Brother Jerry. None of us in this room are going to sin not. Well, that's the goal that God has, that we would sin not. He says over there, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He's our defense attorney, and he's never lost a case, praise God. But if we sin, God will stand before us, and he will help us. The Holy Spirit will guide us in that. Jesus will defend us. Well, listen to me. You're to be set apart from sin. If you're going to be a vessel of honor, for that being cleansed thoroughly, you're to be sanctified. You're to be set apart from sin. May I ask you a question today? Is there any sin that's hindering you from being useful for the Master? Is there any sin in your life that's keeping you from being used of God? Is there anything in your life that you say, hey, you know, God understands that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God doesn't like it. He hates sin. And we too should hate sin. If you ever noticed Jesus, he loved the sinner, but he hated sin. That's how we ought to be. We ought to love the sinner. Anyone and everyone could come in the doors of Lane Prairie Baptist Church, but I'm going to tell you what, we will never condone sin. We're not going to begin doing that because God is not honored in that. We got to deal with sin. We got to be sanctified. And by the way, not only is it we deemed that we're set apart from sin, secondly, we're to be set apart for God. Okay? Now follow me here. Excuse me. If we're going to be a vessel of honor, we got to be set apart for God. We'll say, God, I present myself to you today. What would you have me do? Every morning when you get up, you need to present yourself to God and say, God, it isn't about me, it's about you. What would you have me do today? Not, here's what I'm doing today, God, I hope you can tag along. I'm set apart from sin, yes, but I'm set apart for God. I think that's what Paul had in mind in Romans 12 when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you're going to be a vessel of honor that's sanctified, may I tell you, Paul is saying in Romans 12, he says you got to have a presentation. You got to be willing to present your body totally, totally present your body. Lay it down the altar of sacrifice. Say, God, I give you everything I am. I give you everything I could be. I give you everything, God. It's yours. It's not mine. I'm set apart for you, God. I understand that. But on that, he says, there's the presentation, but then there's the transformation. There's the metamorphosis that takes place because he says, don't be conformed, but be ye transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind, church? We renew our mind by being in the Word of God. That's it. There's no shortcut. Every day as you're in the Word of God, you're renewing your mind. You're renewing your mind. You're reprogramming your computer. And by the way, some of our computers have some bad stuff in it, but thank God we can reprogram it. And you can put God's word there. And when you put God's word there, God's going to use you greatly because you are sanctifying yourself. But he says, then you'll know what is that. Remember, there's the presentation, there's the transformation, and then there's the illumination. What happens? God will show you his perfect and good will for your life. I had people all of that time ask me, well, how do I know God's will for my life? And I tell you today that God will reveal that to you. But he reveals that as you seek him, as you know him personally. He will reveal himself to you, and he'll help you to understand that you are set apart for God. You are there for him, not for you. Folks, we come here to Lane Prairie Baptist Church. This is not about us. It's about him. You know, I said this before and I'll say again today. Some people seek churches, say, I want to go to a church that it has everything for me. By the way, you should never have that attitude. You ought to say, I want to find a church that honors God. And they don't have to have this great program here, this great program here. By the way, the question is, are they magnifying Jesus? The question is, are they lifting up the Lord? The question is, are they making a difference in their community? That ought to be the criteria, I believe. That's the reason this week, as Brother Justin said, we need to pray. We'll have good news clubs. 4 elementary schools this week we'll be going into. And in the afternoon after school, parents will give permission for their children to come. They'll be taught Bible stories. But not only they'll be taught Bible stories, they'll be doing different things. And then as time progresses through that 6-week period, we'll share the gospel. And children will come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every ministry of Lane Prairie Baptist Church, the purpose of that ministry is to point people to Jesus. Not point people to us. I've told you before, don't go out of this place and say, hey, we have this great ministry here, we have this great ministry here, we have a great music director, we have a great youth director, we have a great children's minister, we have a great pastor. Don't be saying that. Say, we have a great Jesus, and we magnify him, and we are here for him, folks. But we're to be separated. May I tell you today, you're to be separated from sin. You're to be separated from the world. Follow me here. We're not to dress like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're not to talk like the world. Because God has separated us. He sanctified us. If you're going to be a vessel of honor, you got to understand that what the world's looking for out there, they're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something that'll give them a meaning for life. And that can be found in Jesus. And we have the answer. And we must be, as the Lord said in his Sermon on the Mount, we must be the light of the world. And we must be the salt of the earth that makes a difference in our world. We're sanctified. We're set apart for God and his use alone. And from sin. Thirdly, not only are we to purge ourselves, cleanse ourselves completely, we're to be sanctified, set apart for God, set apart from sin. We must be, notice what he says here, we must be meet for the master's use. We must be meet for the master's use. See, may I tell you something? The Lord wants his vessel to be available. He wants his vessel to be open. He wants his vessel to be able to be submissive and yielded to who? His will. Our master's will. May I tell you today, he is Lord of all. Now, some people say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Jerry? Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You can't sit on the fence. A lot of believers want to sit on the fence. They want to say, hey, I want him to be Lord when I want him to be Lord. No, that didn't work. I've told y'all before, in your life, there's one throne in your life, and only one can sit on that throne in your life, and the only one who should be on that throne in your life is the Lord. He is our master. He is our Lord, and we're to give him his proper place. And when he's on the throne of your life, may I tell you today, you'll be a vessel of honor. You'll be meet for the master's use. You'll be useful for the master. That's the idea of being me. You'll be useful for him. May I tell you today, the Bible says that he's to be Lord of all. He's to be our Lord, our kurios. It means master or owner. He's our Lord. Catch this. I want you to catch this today. He's our Lord when we acknowledge that everything we own, all our possessions are not ours, but they're his. Have you acknowledged that today? Have you said, you know what? The Bible says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein, it belongs to God. Everything we are belongs to God. That means, by the way, catch this, that means your checkbook belongs to God. and you honor God with the first fruit of your labor as you give a tithing to God in this church. And by the way, thank God for this church. We're way ahead of budget. And last month, we had over $1,000 a week more than what we required for budget. Why? Because there's people here that have understood that He is Lord of their checkbook. And they're honoring God in that. Thank God for that. But we're to honor Him in all of our passions. See, it isn't my house, it's His house. It isn't my car, it's His car. It isn't my job, it's His job. It isn't my finances, it's His finances. It isn't my plans, it's God's plans. And He says, if you're going to be useful for the Master, you got to be yielded to Him completely, folks. You got to understand that He's the Lord of all these. You'll know the Lord of your life. Secondly, catch this. We want to know Him more intimately than anything and anyone else. Do you want to know Him intimately? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. Paul says, oh, I just want to know Him. And by the way, it isn't just knowing about Him. It's knowing Him intimately and personally, where you walk with Him every day and He talks with you every day and God speaks to you through His word every single moment of every day. You're in the spirit of prayer. God leads you in that. And this is what He will lead to us. As that song we've sang, this is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread, Your very spoken word to me. And I'm lost without You, Lord. I'm desperate for You, Lord. I pray today, are we desperate for the Lord? Do we want Him to be the Lord of all of our life? Are we fit for the Master's use? Are we yielded to Him completely? Thirdly, if He's the Lord of our life, we'll do what the Master says. You say, well, that's a given, Brother Jerry. Well, apparently it wasn't in the scripture. Remember one day Jesus turns around in Luke 6:46, and what does He say? He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I've told you? He says, why are you calling me Lord, yet you're not doing what I've told you to do? If I'm Lord, Your Master, you remember over there when Jesus, in John 13, He wants to show the disciples He's going to pass away and He's going to face death. He wants to show the disciples. What is the first thing He shows them? In John 13, what does He do? He takes in a basin of water and He takes a towel and He washes every one of the feet of the disciples. You remember what He said? If I, being Your Lord and Master, am willing to wash Your feet, how much more should you want to be washing other people's feet? See, by the way, in this church, there's no big wigs. In this church, we're all what? Servants of the Most High. And we're useful for the Master. God, by the way, if you'll make yourself useful for the Master, He'll wear you out. He'll use you. In whatever way, He'll use you. Throughout the scripture, God uses men and women who are available to Him. You follow that throughout the scripture. Moses, when he finally said, hey, God, I'm going to be available to You, that's when God used Moses in a great way. God used Joshua when he was available to Him. God used the Apostle Paul when he was available to God. And God will use us when we become available to Him and we understand that we're to be useful for the Master's use. That's why we're here. That's a purpose. And then fourth, and last thing I want to look at this morning, notice what he says here. Excuse me. Not are we to purge ourselves. Not are we to be sanctified, set apart for God and from the world, and we're to be meet or useful for the Master. Fourth, he says here, we're to be prepared for every good work. You see it there in verse 21? we're prepared for every good work. A vessel of honor is yielded and ready to serve at a moment's notice. Boy, wouldn't that be great if our church was made of people that say, boy, we want to serve. What can we do? I don't have too many people coming up to me, knocking on my door, say, Pastor, what can I do this week? Well, one thing we could do is we could get busy about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Still, in Joshua, Texas, in this area, just like in any part of Texas, 50% of people are lost. They need a Savior. And see, when you become a vessel of honor, you'll start, catch this, you'll start seeing people through the Master's eyes. You're not going to see them as this person that's not well-dressed or this person that there's something wrong with them or this person. You'll start seeing them through the eyes of the Lord. And isn't that what our Lord did? He saw something in that woman at the well in John chapter 4 that no one else saw. And even though she had had five husbands, she had living with another man, the Lord said, I have water that you could drink of that you'll never thirst again. He saw something in that man that was lame for 38 years that no one else saw, and he healed him and restored him. Throughout the scripture, we see Jesus time after time ministering to one on one on one, and that's what he wants for us. I've challenged you this before, and I challenge you today. This year, 2019, I'm challenging every single member of Lane Prairie Baptist Church. I'm challenging you to be useful for the Master, and this year be used to reach one person for Christ. Now, what would happen if every one of us here reached one person for Christ? You say, well, we'd need a few more chairs, Brother Jerry. Well, we have a few more chairs. That's not the problem. The problem is that we don't have room. We have room. I know we're missing a lot of people this morning, sickness and things, but listen to me. God wants to use us. We want to be a vessel of honor. And if we make ourselves available to him, we're to be prepared for every good work. The idea is a willingness, eager. A vessel of honor is yielded and ready to serve the Lord. You remember whenever Paul talks to young Timothy, he's challenging him all throughout this book. But over in chapter 4, he says, you're to preach the word. You're to be instant in season and out of season. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. By the way, serving in the kingdom of God and being a vessel of honor, there are going to be times that God calls you to do things that it's not going to be convenient for you. But see, we're not looking for our convenience. We're looking for his will and purpose, that he might use us, that we might be a vessel of honor that's yielded to God, that will be used of God. The early church, if you read the book of Acts, that church was on fire for God. And the reason they're on fire for God, and literally it says in Acts 17:6, they turned their world upside down for Christ. How did that come about? Now, I tell you, it came about because they were yielded to God. They wanted to be useful for the Master. They wanted to be yielded to every, prepared for every good work, prepared for service. Say, God, I want to be your servant in this place. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Not where I want to go. I want to lead wherever you lead, I'll go. And boy, if our church took that, what a difference God would make in our lives. What a difference we'd see. You remember the front of your bulletin? It's on there every week. Is our theme verse, is our goal. For we preach not ourselves, 2 Corinthians 4:5, but ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. See, I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. And every day, you and I ought not be, it isn't for us, it's for him. What it says is that old song we sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I am the potter, I am the clay, you're the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. And by the way, That's a vessel of honor. That's a vessel God's going to use in a great way. We're going to look later on this evening at the fact that this vessel of honor has a pure heart, has a discerning mind, has a gentle manner, has a humble spirit, has a compassionate attitude. Those nine attitudes, those nine things show us a vessel of honor. I ask you a question today. Are you a vessel of honor? Have you purged yourself? Have you set yourself apart for God and from sin? Are you useful for the Master, the one who saved you and called you? Are you useful to Him? And are you available, prepared for every good work that God's given you? For some here today, you've never given your life to Christ. And that's where you got to start.